So, Psalm 23. If you don't know, we're in a summer series called Summer Playlist. And we're going through the songs of the Bible, not all the songs of the Bible, because that would be probably a three-year project. But we're spending the summer doing that, and we're kind of bouncing back and forth between the Psalms and other songs of the Bible. Now, if somebody were to say, what's the most popular verse or passage in Scripture, probably the first thing that people would say is John 3:16, right? If not that, then probably the most quoted scripture, because people don't realize they're quoting scripture, is love your neighbor as yourself, or do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Those are both from scripture. People say them all the time. They call it the golden rule, and they probably don't realize sometimes that they're quoting scripture. But if you were to ask the Old Testament, I kind of think this is one of the most popular passages in the Old Testament. Certainly of the Psalms, this is one of the most popular Psalms, Psalm 23. Now, when you think of Psalm 23, you might think of songs that have been written about Psalm or from Psalm 23. Any of you think of songs? Can you name a song or a composer that has written songs based on Psalm 23? John Rutter. I actually did the John Rutter Psalm 23 in my master's recital way back when it was first written. No, not that. other songs?
Dvorak.
Dvorak. Oh, good for you.
Solo.
So, it's a solo. Yes. Very good. Any other songs? Some of you are going to freak out when you hear some of the composers I mentioned. Okay, most certainly Bach, Bernstein, Bruckner, Howells, Albert Mallott. We know his Lord's Prayer, but he also has a lovely Psalm 23. Schubert, Randall Thompson, Vaughan Williams, Duke Ellington, the Duke, Moody Blues. Here's checking your reggae roots. Peter Tosh, Pink Floyd, Patti Smith, now we're pushing it, The Grateful Dead,
yeah.
Keith Green, Judy Collins, U2, Bobby McFerrin, we've actually sung Bobby McFerrin's version here, Midnight Oil from the Land Down Under, Coolio. How many of you know Coolio? Awesome. We'll have a special time of prayer for us afterwards, okay. Michael W. Smith, Tupac Shakur. Okay, here we're really pushing it. Marilyn Manson. Uh-huh. It's pretty much all about the Valley of the Shadow of Death, though. Kanye West. Megadeth. Exactly. I can't believe it either. The Offspring. India Ire. How do you pronounce her last name? Ari? Okay. Fallout Boy. David Crowder. I'm pretty sure we'll want to add the Megadeth version to our praise rotation here. So I'm going to take a closer look at Psalm 23. This is a beautiful psalm. It has so many important truths for us as followers of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look more deeply at it today. The Lord is my shepherd. Can we just stop there? I mean, don't you just imagine that David one day is out watching his sheep? He's got his lyre out. You know, it's not a harp. It's more like a guitar, right? You know that, right? David was a guitarist. So he's out and he's playing and he's looking around and he's looking at his sheep and he goes, you know, God is kind of my shepherd. And then he starts to strum and he just starts to make a song up about the Lord is my shepherd. It's such a beautiful image. Now, I have to admit, when I was a kid and I heard the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," I thought it meant that you didn't want the Lord to be your shepherd. Anybody else hear it that way when you first heard it? I guess I was just awed that way. "The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I want besides that," right? "I shall lack for nothing" is another way one translation puts it. So as a shepherd, what does God do? It's expressed here in this scripture. He takes us places we need to go. He leads us. He makes us lie down in green pastures. That doesn't mean he forces us to lie down. It means he makes for us a place that is a positive place for us. In green pastures, what is better than a green pasture to a sheep, especially in the Middle East? He leads us to clean waters. I love that we were talking about this, interestingly enough, with my students at Fuller this past week, and the passage where it says, "He restoreth my soul." I have a member of the group that's Chinese, and he said, "You know, in the Chinese Bible, the word there is, he awakens my soul." See, that's why I love intercultural stuff, because you hear new comments like that and you say, oh, that kind of sheds a new light to the passage, right? He awakens my soul. It's been asleep and he awakens it. He revives it. So the Lord leads us. He guides us. And then it says, for his name's sake. The whole point is he's doing it to bring glory to himself. Jesus picks up on this metaphor of in John 10 that Bob read for us. "I am the good shepherd." Jesus is our good shepherd. He claims that imagery for himself. He calls the sheep by name. Do you get that? That Jesus knows your name? And maybe not the name that you know yourself to be called. Maybe he knows a name that you don't even realize is your name. It's your eternal name. Revelation talks about that. That we have names that perhaps we don't even know yet. But when we get to heaven and God calls us by that name, we say, oh, you really do know me. Jesus knows us. And scripture says, my sheep know me, and I know my sheep. My sheep follow because they know my voice. They don't listen to the voice of strangers. Now see, that's the difference between Middle Eastern shepherds and Western shepherds. Western shepherds walk behind the sheep, and they push them and prod them and poke them, and the dogs run behind them and bark at them and make them go that way. In the Middle East, the shepherd just walks ahead, and he calls to them. And the sheep follow because they know their shepherd. One of my professors at seminary said that he was in the Middle East one time, and they had this kind of demonstration, and they took four flocks of sheep and they put them all in one pen. And then they opened all the gates to the pens, and the four shepherds were on hills around the pen. And they all started making their unique, specific calls, and all the sheep went straight to their shepherds. That's the image of God being our shepherd. He's not behind us, poking us and prodding us. He's leading us. He leads us and guides us. We listen to his voice and we follow. Hebrews 13 describes Jesus as the great shepherd. Peter in 1 Peter describes Jesus as the chief shepherd, because that means that there's little shepherds out there too, but he's the chief shepherd. So as long as I'm following Jesus, then hopefully y'all can follow me as the local shepherd following the chief shepherd, and we'll all follow the chief shepherd together. And I love the imagery in Matthew 18 and Luke 13 when Jesus gives the parable and says, who among you, if you have 100 sheep and one of your sheep gets lost, won't leave the 99 to go and find the one? You've heard that story, right? You know that story. So in the same way, sometimes we wander away. And Jesus doesn't let us just go and wander. Jesus comes after us and seeks us out and looks for us and finds us. Why? Because we matter. I love the fact that that is the theme for the summer escape for our youth group. The 99 and the 1. And Xander is doing everything he can to instill in the hearts and minds and souls of these young people in our youth group that they matter to God. That God doesn't just care about the people up here or the people out there. God cares about them uniquely and will do everything he can to reach out to find them. Just the one. I love that that's the focus for our youth right now. Because we get to the next passage, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, it's kind of interesting that some of our modern translations, and even in our New Revised Standard Version that is in our pews right here, it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, doesn't say the valley of the shadow of death. Kind of bums me out. Right? I like that imagery, the valley of the shadow of the death. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay. See, I've trained you guys pretty well. You're getting pretty good at that quick response. Amen. Even when you're falling asleep, you pop up. I like it. The Hebrew actually translates darkest valley or shadow, darkest shadow. It doesn't say the valley of the shadow of death. But because King James said it, and it sounds kind of cool, a lot of translations keep it. What's interesting, I don't know if, what is this place called? The St. George Monastery in Israel. How many of you have been to that? Okay. It's between Jerusalem and Jericho. It's down the Wadi Kelt. On the old road between Jerusalem and Jericho. And it's a very steep canyon road. And our tour guide, when we were in Israel, said, you know, some people think that the ancients called this valley the Valley of the Shadow. And it's a very dangerous place. Because if you walk, there's a lot of what we call false trails on the cliffs. And you think you're going down the right trail. And then all of a sudden you say, oh, this is the wrong trail. And you turn around and go, uh-oh, I'm in very dangerous area. And the rocks, there's a lot of loose rocks up there. So if you start to slip, it's very hard to stop. And you end up dying at the bottom of these canyons. And he said, isn't that a wonderful image here? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, thy rod and thy staff, are those? Is that one piece of equipment? Or is it two? It's two, probably. Philip Keller wrote a book called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, and he talks about Middle Eastern shepherds that carried two sticks. One's a shorter, heavier stick, that's called the rod. The other is a longer, thinner staff, that's called a staff. The rod is a club, and it's meant for throwing at beasts or hitting beasts to protect the sheep. The staff is the tall one with the crook. And that's meant to kind of guide sheep, touch them, let them know which direction to go, and it has the crook in it. And sometimes sheep get dropped down into areas and the shepherd will use the crook to pull the sheep back up. So one's to guide and one's to protect. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You protect me and you guide me, right? Thou preparest a table. Just like Jesus said to his disciples, I go ahead of you to prepare a place for you. So David is echoing this in their history. God prepares a place for us in the presence of our enemies. We eat in calm because we know we don't need to fear our enemies because we are in the presence of God. thou anointest my head with oil. That is just simply a Middle Eastern act to show kindness to honored guests. They would anoint their heads with oil to show honor and respect. My cup overflows with abundance. I love that. Is the glass half empty or half full? It's never anything but full with God. Now the imagery there can be that metaphorically the Holy Spirit entering into us, and it never runs out. But I love this idea. The warrior feasted, the priest anointed, the guest satisfied. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Here then is our hope of hopes. God will lead us in good times. We may wander off the path. We may even face the deepest, darkest fears of our lives. And that might include death. But in the end, we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No matter how difficult life gets, Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. He knows our names. He loves us. He left heaven for us. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will restore your soul. And even when we face the darkest times, he will protect us. This life might get tough, but this life is not the end. We have eternity, and Jesus has prepared a place for us. After Bob prays, we're going to sing a song called Through It All. This is another song based on Psalm 23. And it was written by Matt Redman after he and his wife had a miscarriage. And they were just really struggling. And all of a sudden, the truth of Psalm 23 hit them. And so he kind of overflowed with writing this song. And this song came to be a favorite of Norma Galliano, who has struggled with some serious physical issues in the last few years. So as we sing it, it might be unfamiliar to some of you, but as we sing it, just imagine, through it all, God is with us. He leads us and guides us, protects us. Let's pray.